Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
We're in the third message in the series. Take your Bible's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Praise the Lord. We did an overview of the life of David, talked about the three different anointings. How many? Three. He's the only one in all of Scripture that was anointed three times publicly. We gave an overview. And last week, or last Sunday night, I should say that the basis for God's choice, God doesn't choose randomly. He's not capricious. He has a basis for why he chooses somebody. He has a basis for why he releases God's favor on someone and someone else doesn't receive favor. It's not just like pixie dust that he throws out and you hope some of the dust lands on you. That's not how it is. He has a very prescribed way of loving him. The Bible says in the New Testament, if you love me, you'll obey my word. And so we looked at how in 1 Samuel 16, we looked at how David was selected, and that comes because Saul was rejected. I'm just giving you a quick review. Saul was rejected in 1 Samuel chapter 15, 23. Listen closely. It's a good scripture for your children to memorize. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. Somebody said, I'm just stubborn. Okay. Well, stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now, that's a word over Saul. Saul was the first king over Israel. Actually, God wanted a theocracy, but they wanted to have kings like all the other nations around them. They said, please give us a king. He said, you're not going to like it. Saul said, you're not going to like it. Samuel said, you're not going to like it. They said, no. We want a king. And so Saul was selected by God. And you can see in the text of 1 Samuel chapter 10, the prophet gives Saul a word and says, when you beat the Amalekites and you go to sacrifice, wait for me. Do you know how long it takes for that word to come to pass? You'd think it was just a few days. It's 2 years. So the prophet gives him a word and he has this word in his heart for 2 years. Now, Saul waits for 7 days, and at the end of 7 days, this is what one of the main reasons he loses the anointing or is rejected as king. And God, in rejecting him, because he did not obey the word of the Lord, God, in rejecting him, chose another, a young, ruddy whippersnapper. He waits 7 days, feels like it's enough, but because of the pressure of the people, he thought the people were going to leave. He was under a cultural pressure to do certain things that he didn't wait for the prophet. He's sacrificing. Immediately thereafter, Samuel shows up and says, Jude, what have you done? Huagag. What a word. And he's rejected. We talked about how God chose David. The rejection of Saul and the choice of David was clear. It was decisive. And there's a reason for it. He didn't pick him because he was handsome. He didn't pick him because he was smart. He didn't pick him for any other reason that he had a heart after God. In fact, the scriptures talk about, I've chosen a king for myself. I've selected myself a king. God picked a king for him to represent him. And he picks David. And Samuel goes to anoint David at Bethlehem. And we talked about last Sunday night about how you need to kill your Saul. Because God has a plan for you. He has chosen you. He's appointed you. He has blessings for you. But if you don't kill your Saul, and you expect the blessings of God to be upon your life, you're sorely mistaken. Cain gave what he wanted to. Abel gave what was required. There's a way of walking in God's blessing. Sure is quiet in here. There's a way of walking in God's blessing. You might look at someone like John Duke, perhaps. Well, how come John gets to go to the nations? He's so lucky. No. It's nothing to do with luck. It has everything to do with blessing and paying a price and moving forward. And that price will continue to be required of staying hungry and living holy before God and praying. Because Saul, listen, this got me. I hope it gets you too. Saul was once the anointed guy, bro. The first standing army, he had it going on, and he lost the anointing. There was a time in my life when I lost the anointing. It was only a few days. Perhaps the Lord allowed me to tell you about it. Take your Bibles, turn with me, please. 1 Samuel 16. Man, you are in for a word tonight. Ooh, gonna get it. You ready? Stand up on your feet, would you? 1 Samuel 16, start in verse 13. Can you find verse 13 instead of verse 14? I'm so sorry. It's my error. There we go. Fantastic. And Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Say it with me. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose, went to Ramah. But verse 14, read this with me. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. That's good. Let's pray. Father, move in power in the name of Jesus. We thank and praise you for it. All that you've done through this series already and what you're going to do even tonight. Come on, lay your hands on your own heart. Move in power, God, tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're moving chronologically in the life of David. And I'm taking it really line upon line and teaching and preaching kind of, which is my favorite thing, to look at the Old Testament and tie it into the new is really my favorite way of preaching and teaching you. Because that's what we grew up on. And I've found it to bring about great results, and I have every hope and prayer that it'll do the same thing for you. Note these parallel statements here. The Spirit rested on David, verse 13, and departed from Saul, verse 14. This theme of the Lord being with David is seen over and over in chapter 16, verse 18, chapter 18, 12. So David then is used later on, and we'll read these verses, to be a deliverer to Saul. Why did Saul lose the anointing, the enablement, the empowerment, anointing, the anointing? And I don't know about you, but I'm just really backing away from some of the Christianese stuff because a lot of people don't even understand what it means. The anointing, but we don't even understand what the anointing is. The anointing is God's empowerment. It's what? God's empowerment. It's God's power. It's God's ability resting on someone. It can be on something. It can be on a place. Jacob was the first law of first reference. Oil was poured over a rock. It's this picture of anointing the rock. So the oil being poured over something is something being set apart for God's purpose. The anointed one, Christ means the anointed one. Christ means Messiah. Christ is the Greek term for anointed one. So Jesus is the anointed one. The anointed one is the one who has God's oil on him. In the Old Testament, it was the leading king. But in the New Testament, it can be anybody. Anybody can have God's oil, God's power, God's ability. It used to be prophet, kings, and priests. Now it's anybody who received Jesus and decides to walk in his word, walk in his way, can walk in power, can walk in anointing by the Holy Spirit, which you now see and hear. He sets the captives free, and he'll put oil on you. He'll put power on you. Why? So that you can do what God called you to do. So that you can live a supernatural life of blessing. He wants you to know and hear his voice. Can I get a better amen tonight? Amen. And you can lose that. You can lose God's power resting on you. You can look through history, even modern history, and see these incredible evangelists and leaders and how they wind up in sin. They get entrapped. The devil fools them. They make poor choices. And then they get restored. But you'll notice something. Some of them get restored. Some of them don't. It's grievous. You'll notice when they get restored, they're never quite as anointed and as powerful as they were when they were first flowing. It's like, okay, they're going to make it to heaven, but like, I don't want to listen to them anymore. I don't really want to go to their meetings anymore. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's how I feel about it. That's what I see. I remember early on in my ministry and my walk with the Lord, we had a large amount of debt. And it was because we lived very dumb. We just were ignorant and then made poor choices. Karen was never ignorant. She made the best choice in receiving Jesus and then chose me also. So I came with a lot of baggage to the game. Her, not so much. I was just grateful that she said yes. And in the process of trying to get rid of that debt, I tried to do some creative things. I worked hard, tried to pay the debt off, and did just some different things. I had an IRS debt. And I got the IRS debt because I didn't pay my taxes. But to my credit, I thought if you got paid cash, you didn't have to pay taxes. How many of you know that's not true? And if you're not convinced of that, come talk to me after. I'll convince you, because they will come after you. And they will find you. Oh, it might take them a few years, but you're going to get caught. So I'm getting paid cash under the table, evangelist. And I've got this job, and I don't know. It was like making $100 an hour, but it was only 25. But it was, you know, back then. And I remember I was getting towards the end of the year. It was time for getting close to tax time. And I walked into church. Pastor Chris Davis on the front row was leading worship. It was always this explosive encounter with God. And I'm not even kidding. Church was like, we just couldn't wait. How many of you feel that way? Like, ooh, church. Biggest party in town. And so Karen and I come in that Sunday morning. I am walking 3 feet off the ground. I'd led some people to Jesus that week, and they were coming, and newly married, and Karen loved me, and I was getting paid cash. And I remember meeting this business person who greeted me when I came in. They say, well, Daniel, you look happy. I said, oh, yes, God is good. He's so good. And they're like, amen. Well, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I led this person to Jesus. This thing happened. And I'm getting paid cash under the table. Glory to God. And they said, what do you mean by that? I said, I'm getting paid cash, man. They said, you still have to pay taxes. And I was like, what? Said, oh, yeah, you got to pay taxes on that. I thought, see you later. I walked off, and I'm like, I didn't hear that. They must be lying. I tried to push that thing out of my mind. And God had empowered. There was an anointing on our lives. It's a long story, but I'm going to tell it a little bit shorter. Somebody had some scheme back then where there was a loophole that you get out of all your taxes. It was totally legal. Of course, they had to leave the country. I didn't know that. They said it was all legal, and I took their word for it and signed all kinds of documents, did all kinds of stuff, and it's going to get me out of my giant IRS debt. Yeah, businessman. Got to watch out. Not all businessmen are created equal. So, going to the church and everything. Somebody said, I can't believe somebody broke into my car at the church. Listen, your car ought to be locked right now. Because we have people that come here that need Jesus. Maybe they're half-baked. Maybe the buns just need to cook a little bit more. They're not 100% sanctified right now. All right, so you make sure you got your purse closed in front of you. Amen. What are we talking about? Losing the anointing. And so what ended up happening is I went all the way through the process. I got some counsel from some people, and they were not direct with me. They said, you better pray through on that. They should have told me, dude, don't do that. But maybe they didn't know. I don't know. All the while, a still small voice, son, don't do that. I'm like, oh, but it's going to get me out of my debt. God, you're so good. I was tithing. I was giving. I remember going to sign the last piece of paperwork. Go up to the office. Talking about losing the anointing. I'm talking about losing your favor and getting a distressing spirit. Saul gets a distressing. Some of you know what that is. You might have it tonight. You can leave set free tonight if you have a distressing spirit. You don't have to go home with it. I would encourage you not to go home with it. I would encourage you to lose your distressing spirit tonight. Go home with a fresh touch of oil from heaven. I went up to go sign the final pieces of document, and I was going to be free from my IRS debt. As I walk in, the atmosphere changes in the room. I start shaking as I get to the desk. I sit down. He's like, well, this is it. You ready? You're going to be free. Slides the last document across. I take the pen. I go to sign it. And you know how this, it says the Lord is a still small voice? He also yells. And when I went to, my pen hit the paper, and I heard him say this. I said no. And I was all, I dropped the pen, and I looked at the guy. I said, I can't do it. He said, what? I stood up. I said, sorry. And I literally walked out while the guy's yelling at me. I put all this time and all this effort. What are you doing? You're a fool. And I walked out. When I walked out, the Lord rebuked me and said, you must obey my word. You must obey my leading. And if you don't, you can lose out, son. And in that moment, I was just like, oh, what just happened? Something happened. No, I can still pray in tongues, but something happened. Like I literally felt this something lift. I went home. I cried on the way home. I remember talking to Karen. I had to preach that weekend, and I couldn't hear God's voice. I couldn't hear anything. It's like he just left me. Now, theologically, I think I was still saved, but there was a touch of God that lifted off of my life. The story is much longer, but he left me without the anointing, dude, don't try to do stuff without God's power. Don't try to serve God without God's power. You need God's power. I keep trying to serve God. Please don't hear me the wrong way. I'm just saying you need an enablement from God to do it. You can tell. I can listen to radio programs. I can listen to preachers, and there's a quality about it. So it either got oil on it or there's no oil on it. Well, the oil kind of left me. And I remember going to preach that weekend. First of all, couldn't get anything together. It's like, you don't have a message. You didn't have one. So I pulled out an old one. It was really anointed when I preached it years before. So I figured that'll work. I'm like, that doesn't work. I repented. By the time I got in the pulpit, I put my hands on the pulpit, and it was like a sound of heaven came back on me. I felt his power, and he said, don't do that again. I was like, okay, deal. That's what happened to David, and that's what happened to Saul. Look with me, verse 14. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit troubled him. Verse 15. The Lord's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. It's a picture of judgment. Listen, judgment comes to all of us and correction comes. I don't know, I think I was talking to Pastor Tim. We were talking about being corrected, about accountability. Was that today? Talking about direct. And he said, I love correction. I love correction too. If I'm going to be off the rails, if I'm going to lose out on God, if I'm going to forfeit or abort the plan, I want somebody to please, please, please tell me. Please shock me. Blessed is the difficulty or the obstacle that comes in the way of a man on his road to destruction. Thank God for the Lord correcting you. Raise your hand if you've been corrected. Good. You should heed the correction. If you haven't been corrected, you might be illegitimate. Maybe you need to get right with God. God corrects you over and over and over. He's constantly training you, constantly instructing you. It's ongoing. And it should be a joyful thing, making you more like Jesus. Distressing spirit from God is troubling you. So this is a picture of judgment. Verse 16, look at your text with me. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out, listen closely, a man who is a skilled player on the harp. And it shall be that when he will play it with his hand, when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, you will be well. You should be well. Verse 17. Now this distressing spirit from God. First of all, distressing spirits are from the enemy, but you can get them by rejecting God. It's the Old Testament views more sovereign. New Testament's real clear. If you didn't catch that, just wind the tape back later and listen to it. The Old Testament, you see a sovereign view that God sort of has everything. In the New Testament, you see clearly light and dark. You see clearly the way Jesus is. He cast out devils. But if you reject God, it's like you come out from under the hand of God, then the enemy has access to you, distressing spirit. Does everybody understand that? A skillful harp player, and it shall be that when he plays, the distressing spirit. Okay, verse 17. So Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. This is verse 14 to 17. So at the beginning of his reign, 25 years later, Saul's anointed. You can see 1 Samuel 10, verse 6, 1 Samuel 10, verse 10, 1 Samuel 11, verse 6. The Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news. And his anger was aroused. He was anointed. He wasn't not anointed. He was anointed. He had power. He had an enablement from God. He lost it. Tragic contrast. Spirit comes on Saul. Saul's empowered. Saul disobeys. The spirit departs. Get that. Spirit comes on Saul. Saul is empowered. Saul disobeys. The spirit says, adios, which is Spanish for goodbye. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, adios. You don't want God saying adios. He went from a national hero to a zero. He went from Saul, head and shoulders above everybody else, anointed, to zip. Dude even consults a witch in the end. The witch of Endor, which we'll preach on later. Distressing spirit, demonically oppressed, an expression of divine judgment. So seek out a skillful harpist. Now this is interesting. In 1 Samuel 10, verse 5, let me read it to you. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where there will be Philistine garrison is. It'll happen that when you come up there to the city, that you'll meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine. Now that's Old Testament. There ain't no twist, no tambourines here. Okay. Maybe we should start a tambourine ministry, and Sister D is the only one I know that can play. Maybe we should start a tambourine ministry. Just see Pastor Karen if you want to try out. Group of prophets coming down from the high place, stringed instrument, tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they'll be prophesying. So they're organized into these prophetic communities, and it's these, their worship was always a part of it. So it's fascinating. In fact, you can see in, this is great. In fact, when I read this, I felt this was a word for you, Pastor. It's Psalm 49. Listen closely. Psalm 49, verse 4, I will incline my ear to a proverb. I'll disclose my dark sayings, saying on a harp. Let me read it again. I'll incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark saying on a harp. Now, that's not dark saying like darkness and evil and wrong and bad. It's that which is hidden and mysterious. So what he's saying, really, he's saying, I'm going to incline my ear to the Lord, Pastor Chris. He's going to speak to me. I'm going to turn it loose through a production. I'm going to release it through sound. I'm going to release it in worship. It's profound. Now, for those of you that are still not quite grasping that, I'm going to read it to you in Gen Z. Oh, yeah, I said Gen Z. I'm going to lean in and listen carefully to the wisdom God is revealing. Then I'm going to drop that deep T through music. Okay, there's another one. I'm going to unpack deep spiritual tea, and I'm going to do it through a song. That's another way to say it. Thank you, ChatGPT. That's what that means. Come on, lift your hands and say, Lord, loose that deep tea, that deep spiritual tea tonight, in Jesus' name. All right, some of you, we lost you. Music sometimes releases prophetic revelation. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 15. David carried God's presence. He's anointed, but here's the thing about this, and we're going to look at these next verses in a moment. He played skillfully. And it's one thing to be anointed. It's another thing to be skillful. He had to work at that. You know, you had to work at those keys. They didn't just come naturally. You have to work at it. Business is the same way. Whatever your craft is, the same way. You can work on it. Then God puts power on you, or he puts power on you. You can work on it. But there's a skillfulness. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Spirit-filled music can shift atmospheres. I mean, that's one of the reasons we start with worship. It changes things. Worship changes things. Music changes things. 2 Chronicles 5, listen to this, verse 13. When the trumpeters and the singers were together as one, and there's 120 of them, by the way, the glory of the Lord filled the house. The glory of the Lord, when the singers and the musicians, 120 of them were together, were united as one, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And it says that the priests could not stand to minister. It's a picture that when there's power, when there's anointing, when there's a supernatural touch of God upon music, upon worship, like David, then people who are distressed can be set free. That's what that's talking about. And the prophet Isaiah says, bring me a musician. Different ones say, bring me a musician so I can prophesy. There's a flow that's taken place here. And David is, he's anointed, but he also has this amazing skill. So one of Saul's servants in verse 18 knew of David's skill of music. Let's read it. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I mean, it just so happens. I mean, how did that happen? God. It just so happens. Look, I've seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Now, this is before he killed Goliath. We're going to get to that Sunday night. Going to drop that uncircumcised fat head. Don't miss Sunday night. Come on, somebody say, yeah. The son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Who is skillfully playing. Oh, this says so much. He's skillfully playing a mighty man of valor, a man of war. It's a list. Anytime you see lists, pay attention. A man of war, prudent in speech, handsome, and a handsome person. Number five. Number six, the Lord is with him. It gives a list. You know, I think you could take this list and I think you could apply it to your life. And if you're right with God and you ask for God's anointing, you're going to end up with favor on you. I mean, what is the list? Skillful at playing. David was an accomplished musician. He said, well, I'm not a musician. Be it accomplished, whatever it is. My God, you can learn almost everything on YouTube just about. Or be an idiot all your life and stand before the Lord in judgment. You choose. No, that's no fair. Oh, stop. Just stop. The whole victim thing, you will hate kings if you have a victim mentality. I will preach you right out of that thing. We're victors, not victims. There's no victims here. There is no victims here. I said there's no victims here. That's not God's plan for you. God's plan for you is to be a victor. God's plan for you is to win. God's plan for you is to be the head and not the tail. God's plan for you is to raise you above and to have influence in government, in the workplace, in your family, It is an unbiblical thing to lose. Oh, you might take some shots in a skirmish, but the whole war, you win. Amen. Skillful in playing. Are you skillful at what you're doing? A mighty man of valor, David, was both skillful, but he was also someone who wasn't afraid of facing danger. Killing the lion, the bear, we'll hear about that later. Being called a valiant man, it's a great, his courage. He was a man of war. Fought the Philistines. Later on, we're going to see these things. Prudent in speech. Listen to that. If he wasn't prudent in speech, it might have actually eliminated him from being promoted. God's bringing him. Listen, it's this undercover thing. He's anointed. He's chosen. Samuel goes. He anoints him with oil. You're the next king. The Spirit comes on him from that day. And over at the White House, Gibeah, Saul, the Spirit leaves him. There's a simultaneous picture of the anointing leaving one king and coming upon another. It's a picture of a covering leaving somebody. And so now he's left with a distressing spirit, and it just so happens that God sets him up because he had been preparing. You know, a lot of people want to just skyrocket, but they're not willing to dig the ditches and do what you need to do. He was anointed to be king. How many years did it take? 14 years before he got 1/12. He became king over Judah.
Right.
And he didn't get the other 11 tribes. And he's the king over Judah for 7 years. And some of you at that place, if you've done what I've done, Lord, you said, I thought you said you were going to. He's like, yeah, but you're not ready. You knucklehead. Just relax and learn what I'm trying to teach you for the next 7 years. You quit belly aching. We could do it in 3 if you just shut it. And so Paul, he goes in and he makes tents for 12 years, 14 years. Go look in Galatians. And then he's launched the super missionary. Think about how God chooses you. You're in school right now. You're being prepared right now. Everything that you've been through, Pastor Chris, is to bring you to the place that you're in now, and that you are going to be launched forth into tremendous fruitfulness because you can handle it. You're not you're young, but you know what I mean. You're not wet behind the ears. You have lots of experience. You've been tested. I texted, was talking to somebody, 30 years, a man of integrity, a man of honor. Did you blow it? Well, not major disqualification things, but it's a lifestyle of repentance. I've seen that. I've known you. You're one of my best friends. And I love the fact that you're happy to rebuke me and talk to me about stuff. That's comforting. It's comforting to have somebody say, hey, you got a bat in the cave, bro. Spiritually, a spiritual bat in the cave. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm grateful for people who would lovingly confront me. That's who that friend is to me. But guess what? I do the same thing to him, rarely. But when God can trust you, he'll then begin to open things. Some of you can't be trustworthy with 10 cents on a dollar. And you're like, oh, let it rain, Lord. They take in the offering, I'm going to the bathroom. He wants to bless you, but you can't be faithful. I just praying for the Escalade. You have a jalopy. And you have to plug in your heater. You got it. The heat doesn't work in the car. So you have to use one of those plug-in adapters and you like to defrost your windshield. Listen, I've been there too. But if you can't be faithful with that, why would God give you something better? Not feeling the love. He's prudent in speech. What does that even mean? Go study that. He didn't have foul things in his mouth. It's a picture of him being skilled in speaking, and it's a picture of him building relationships. It's a picture of him being honorable. It's a picture of him being a gentleman. I'm trying to help you. If you want to be elevated, you have to make plans. You have to change. You have to shift. David was chosen, and it wasn't just some random thing. If you think he got anointed by the time because the oil was poured over your head, you're mistaken. God visited him in that sheepfold long before the oil ever was poured on him in front of his brothers. Long before that. The Lord was with him. I love that. So it goes on to say in verse 21 that David came to Saul, verse 21, and stood before him. That word standing before is a picture of service. It means to enter into his service. You'll see that in Genesis 41, 46. Then Saul said to Jesse, verse 22, please let David stand before me. That means serve me. For he's found favor in my sight. And so it was. Whenever the spirit from God was upon him. In other words, a distressing spirit. Again, it's an Old Testament view of darkness. The spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and he would play it in his hand. Then Saul become refreshed. You know, I'm gonna just jump off a little bit. Would you jump on those keys for me? Pastor Chris was playing and leading worship when I got born again. That's a long time ago. He was leading worship when I got devils cast out of me and when I got called into the ministry. He was leading worship when I brought Karen to the church for the first time. Missionary dating, bad idea. It worked out for us. She got saved. First service. He's leading worship when I got engaged. There's something about the anointing. There's something about his presence that comes when you worship him. Hey, you took David from the sheepfold. You chose him. You've chosen us. You took him. It's a picture of covenant from Psalm 78. It's a picture of abiding, a picture of covenant, a picture of redemption. You chose him, yes. You chose him, yes, you did. You took him. And you brought him to the modern day, to what we would call the White House. You brought him to play his skillful harp, to bring the anointing into the very place he would one day lead as king. Who could do that but God? He chose you. He selected you, he appointed you, yes. He's taking your hand tonight, and he's leading you, all right. Don't worry about your past. Don't you worry about your past, don't you worry. Because his blood can make you new and can establish you. He partners with us. Lift your hands to Jesus.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.